Now that we finished Kids Shulchan Aruch, which I'm searching for some a limud on halacha. It's very important. Kol hashoyin halachas b'chol yoy muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Yes, I looked for the introduction this morning. 6:30 in the morning, I was on the computer looking for the introduction. I went to Chelik Aleph and it says there, I wrote the introduction Chelik Beis, he writes. So I went to Chelik Beis and it's just a 2-page introduction. I thought it was, someone told me that there's a very long, elaborate introduction explaining the entire process of halacha. I don't know, I must be making a mistake.
On what?
On the Kids Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Braun. He wrote a kuntres. Someone told me he wrote a kuntres.
I have an old Shulchan Aruch before Rabbi Braun.
Alive. Yeah.
It was written that had a very long introduction in the Kids Shulchan Aruch. So, my grandfather.
So bring it in. Who's it from? Who wrote it?
I don't know, but I think it was from him, from Shlomo
Gansfried. Gansfried. Oh, maybe, okay. So, I don't
that
know.
Was very long.
Someone, bring it in. Someone told me a long time ago, you're learning Kitz Shrach, make sure you learn the Hakdama. So I told him, I was under the assumption of the Hakdama to the Shalom.
Explaining why he.
So maybe that's what it is. So maybe we'll come back to it. He told me it's fascinating. He goes through the entire process of halacha and how we had the process. I'm missing something.
I read it last year when I came over.
Yeah.
I was just going through my father's farm and I saw this on the shelf.
If you have it at home?
Yeah.
You can please bring it in. Michal, take for you. Take your hand out. Wait, I need one. I need one over here. Yeah. For you and for you here. How's your fast? Okay. All right. So what I have for you over here, these two pieces of paper. This is from the very back of a sefer called Masifta. Masifta is the Hasidim's response to Art Scroll. Okay. After Art Scroll put out the Art Scroll Gemara. So it opened up a new market, opened up a whole new way of learning. It was a revolution. What Art Scroll did was revolutionary. To elucidate the Gemara, to take the words of the Gemara and explain it line by line, and to give you Be'urim on the bottom, it really opened up the world to a whole new appreciation of what you can do with the page of the Gemara. There's no question in my mind that the entire Masifta project is a response, is only to the credit of Art Scroll.
But they have two things. They have
100 things. Two things. Chavrusa is something completely different. Chavrusa was done at the same time as Art Scroll, but Chavrusa is a very, very simple parish. It's a very, 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 but it's not at all elaborate. It was done very quickly. It's not on the level of Art Scroll. It's not on the level of Masifta. Masifta came along, and they very slowly, it took them a long time to get into it, but they basically published a work that is enormous. I mean, I don't even know the right words. They break everything up. They break up the Gemara into multiple parts. They explain the Gemara. They explain every single Rashi. They explain every Tosfos. They explain. They have Rosh Shiva Shiurim. Today, to be a Rosh Shiva is easy. All you have to do is buy a Masifta Gemara, and they have there prepared for you every shiur you can possibly want to say. Well, there's no tape. Well, you have voice recognition, so you have put it in the computer. The computer will read it for you. And then they have Be'urim, Yalkoit Be'urim. Then they have a section in the back on Agadita called Kafta V'Ferach. It's an extremely impressive piece of work. Each volume is this thick, and it's about 15 blot per volume.
Only in Hebrew.
It's only in Hebrew. And like on the Masechta Nedarim, there are 6 volumes. So it's quite an impressive work, and then they have a shortened version for people like me. Just if you want to learn Daf Yomi, so they have just the beginning of the Gemara. It's done extremely, extremely well. They have a competitor also. This is something called Shas Lublin. They pretty much do the same thing. I don't know who's funding them. It's also a multi-million dollar project, and a lot of it is done. Some of it is done by Hasidim. I think Skver Hasidim, and a lot is done in Eretz Yisrael by Bnei Torah, and it's a major, major project. There's a lot of coordination. Someone told me there are 200 people that worked on it, worked on each volume. What? No, it says there. Friedman. Squirtan is where they do the work. It's done a lot by Hasidim. Hasidim, the main people who are the writers are Hasidim. There are people also in Eretz Yisrael that are working on it. The Shas Lublin is done by Litvaks. The Shas Lublin is a competition to Mesifta. It's very, very similar. It's a little different, but there are a lot of similarities, and that's done by the Litvish crowd. Okay, whatever it is. The difference is, if you study it, everyone has their preference. I personally like Mesifta much better. Some people will swear by Lublin. And in Eretz Yisrael, none of them win. In Eretz Yisrael, the Israelis, they love what they call Schattenstein. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you say the word art scroll, they'll look at you, what's an art scroll? They'll say Schattenstein. Oh, Schattenstein. They're crazy about what they have over here, the whole set, the blue. The blue, the Hebrew. You see the Hebrew? They love it. The Israelis are crazy about the Hebrew art scroll. The B'nai Torah, they're crazy about it. And they don't call it by the name Arjun, they call it Schattenstein.
Did they have a rough time being accepted?
In the very beginning, we're talking over here 25 years ago. 25 years ago, when they published the first volume in English, there was a lot of opposition. No, the Hebrew, I never heard any opposition to the Hebrew.
That's why I thought Skokie, that he gave them a lot of credit, because it's the only mixed message I ever saw. The yeshiva,
yeah,
that they have the art scroll
in the Gemara, in the base medrash.
In the base
medrash.
Usually it's in the reference rooms, yeah. You know,
right. Okay.
They have it in the base
medrash. Okay, now the thing that my favorite part of the Masifta by far is in the back of the Gemara, on this page where it says on top, Alibud Hilchos, on the bottom where it says Penine Halacha. This by far is my favorite part of the volume, where they go through every daf and they select a topic in the daf. Usually the topic has, just the reason why they select it is because in the discussion it'll quote the Gemara. And sometimes the quote from the Gemara is almost irrelevant. It's not even the main focus, because how often can you find something that is so on target to discuss? Sometimes it is very much on target, but more often than not, it's not as on target to the daf. But it's very interesting. It's usually written very well. It's very similar in style to the writing that we learn from the Sha'arim Mitzion Ba'alacha from Rabbi Brown. And one thing I want to warn you is that from my memory, when I used to spend more time on this, there's a little bit of a leaning towards a Hasidish Mahalich, a little more of a Hasidish leaning in the Piskei Halacha and in the discussion, because after all, it is written by Skver Hasidim, and they're the ones who are really editing it and they're doing it. But so I want to try. We'll see how if this goes well. I have to confess, I did not prepare. I did not look it over. And let's just see, out of curiosity, what it says for today. So let's read it together inside. We'll make a leaning on this together. Okay, it is. We'll start with Daf. Today is Daf. I need one more. You know what? Yeah, today I have it. Yeah, it's good. Today is Daf Samach Dalet. Is that correct?
Yes.
What's today? Today is Daf Samach Dalet? Okay. Masechta Nedarim. So let's see what it says over here on the bottom. Yes, I have an extra. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just take a look what it says. Okay, Av Sha'isal Benoy Litbol Benikva Kara. Okay, a very strange topic. Okay, a father that forbids his son to go into the mikvah. He has a son that's become very religious, wants to go to the mikvah. And obviously the issue over here is going to be a sakana. The father feels that going into a freezing cold mikvah in the middle of the winter, as you hear, remember these chassidic stories, to go into the mikvah, he's going to get sick. So let's. I'm going to read inside, word for word. Samach Dalet. Perek Tishi. Okay, so.
Pay drink fast at the bottom, Perek Tishi.
We'll see how this goes. Here you go. Here's the second page. Okay, let's see what it says. B'shut arugas habayisem. Okay, b'shut always means for b'shailas u'tshuvas arugas habayisem nishal b'inyin adam sh'aviv gozer olav b'mitzvahs kibur av sh'lo yitfol le'eis hatzarech ki b'mikvah chama. father says it's dangerous. I do not want you to go to mikvah. You want to go to mikvah? Good for you, but don't go into a cold mikvah. I don't want to go and have to visit you in the hospital. This child, his custom was to go to whatever, to go to the mikvah before the evening. Okay, if he's chayiv a mitzvah, keep it aimed, override his father's command. Obviously, he's asking, is kibud avo aim related to the fact that something has nothing to do with his father? I'm not giving you honor. It's a personal decision on my part. Even if you will suggest that whatever your father tells you to do there, you are obligated to do midin kibud avo aim. Adayin yesh lodun im chuyv l'shmoy elav bezeh shaharei gan b'mitzvas derabonon nifsak b'shulchan aruch. When it comes to a mitzvah derabonon, shulchan aruch, we it's paskin shem omar loy oviv levatel afilu mitzvah derabonon. You're not mechuyev to listen to your father when he tells you not to do a mitzvah derabanan. So let
granted, this is a chassidishim.
Granted, right off the bat. Granted, who here goes to the mikvah? Who here goes to the mikvah? What? That's going to be the big mystery, how this relates to the daf. Probably because the person was doing this for 5 years, so it's become a neder. It's a neder, and now his father is telling him to be over on his ned, not in his. Let's see. I told you, I warned you in advance, some of the things here have a leaning towards inyone chassidus. So far off the bat. But there are a lot of very beautiful things here. So I got a lot of good stuff in the past year from the things they write over here. Let's see. So b'tshuvos soyherch. So the Arugas Haboisem. Also, maybe as we do this, if I have time, look up who these people are. The Arugas Haboisem and all these names here in yeshiva, and how often do you really learn about their lives? To use this as a way to study a little biographical sketch of who these people were when they lived, where they lived, and what were the messianists of their generation. Yeah.
My wife is a direct.
A direct descendant.
So you're Hungarian? Hungarian?
Okay, so when did he live? The Rugos Haboisem.
I think around 1880.
Where did he live?
Hungary.
Okay. So we have over here.
Yeah.
This Shuvasai, okay.
His name is Moshe Kwalson. We got the end of that frame right here. The Rav of Kos, Hungary, Hasidic dynasty, through his five sons. He's also the Arugas Haboisem. He was the eldest son of Rav Avraham Greenwald, 1831 to 1870, one of the leading students of the Ksav Sefer.
Ksav Sefer, Talmud of the Ksav Sefer.
Father, not one invented a rabbi. Moshe is one of the group of students of the Ksav Sefer who took on Hasidic customs. He was also a disciple of the second Belzer Rebbe. Greenwald began his rabbinic career as Rav and Av Bestin in Homana in Hungary, in Hungary, where he established the yeshiva. From there, he accepted the rabbinic in Klein Vadad. Yeah. And in 1887, he moved to Chust, where he also had a yeshiva. Among his favorite students in Chust was Rabbi Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, the future founder of Yeshiva Torah Das. Pilpul and advises students to acquire breadth and depth in the study of Torah Gemara.
Okay, so now we really know. So if he produced Rabbi Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, that's already... Shaykh of Lovish is the founder of Torah Vedas. Really, I mean, the whole Torah Vedas has his imprint.
He did not found it.
I know he did not found it, but his presence is what had the most influence on the yeshiva ad hayom hazeh. The whole yeshiva today is a product of his tender, loving care. That's very, very clear. And they wrote a book a couple of years ago, article published. Very nice biography on Rav Shigit, a real flavor of who he was. Very, very fascinating.
Yeshiva is an outgrowth of
Torah Das.
Right, that was one
he
of his things.
To open up he was in Torah Das and he left Rav Shigit.
He left or he was told to leave?
Whatever.
Politics.
I only know
politics.
The background because my uncle was so
when people are too powerful, that's what happens.
Yes.
Okay.
Uncle left with
him. Mahi told the Malachim to leave. That was his doing. He went and he took the Malachim to Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb's father-in-law. Right, Rabbi Doc, he was the Pesach, and he passed in that the Malachim have to leave.
Check out.
Okay, let's see. Rabbi Bamel? Okay, let's see. Okay, let's go further. So let's see. B'shuvah say Herich lechiach. So how does he pass in that Ugas Abayis in this Shaila? He proves to the Yehochi Herich leharich in Bedavah Sheinu Nagiyah lechlal lechvoide shalav chayiv leshmoi b'koiloi oilai. He elaborates. What is the halacha when a father tells you to do something that does not relate to his own honor? He's just giving the child advice. And the advice has no effect. What the decision the child will make will have no effect upon the father. What is halacha? Behavi b'sefer chasidim, sheben hayodea be'avoysaf, shemitztarim imhu mis'ane. If a child knows that his father has tsar, if he would fast, also lo lisanos. That's a very powerful halacha. Child wants to fast. He's 11 years old. He's in camp, and he wants to fast. His parents don't know what's going on, but his parents warned him, "Don't you dare fast." If the parents would find out, it is forbidden for a child to fast. V'nir shebeze kula moedim. Everyone agrees. Me'acha ve'av mitstar im yavar al ritzona im kein vaday havile davar shenagiel aviv. V'yesh beze chiv shel kibud avoim midrais. It's a very important halacha that kibud avoim does not mean that the father has to derive benefit from your decision physically or in any way or form, even if the parent has tsar that his will is not being fulfilled. That is also kibud avoim, or violation of kibud avoim. Kain gam benidon didon im yodesh avav yitzar im over al gezerasai mechuyev l'shmoy alei afilu b'davar she'enay legel aviv. Okay, so that's the general rule. Omnam. Now, how does this relate to a situation where a child is going to mikvah? Omnam kosav shebenidin didon, in our situation, shenohag haben litbol tomid b'mikvah koidim atfilo, that he's been doing this continuously for a period of time. Umiyachar v'noah kein kama pa'amim hareze kineder. So here we see how this is related to the daf. This already has something that you do for three times automatically has the status of a neder, and if you want to stop, you have to be matur neder. V'im kein hareze kilu omar aviv la'avar al haneder. Father is telling you, don't do this anymore. Don't do this mitzvah anymore. So the father is telling you to violate your vow. Ve'enoy mechuyov l'shmoy aloi, ve'oser lohokel b'loy hatara. So he does say you can have hatara, but just not to listen, just to stop is also without at least hataras nedarim. Ve'kevon shebe'emes enu mischoret b'ikr hadavar. So he says a very chiddush, since he really doesn't have regret. When you come to be mater neder, think about this, a beautiful law. That's why I like this. I like this pini halacha. It always brings out lumdus. It doesn't just bring out a piece of Gemara and a halacha. It always will bring in a shtuk of lumdus. And the lumdus he says here is why when you matter neder you have to have charata. Had I known, I would not have done this. There's no charata. What?
Charata means I regret
that I was makabel. So he's coming over here to say a very big chiddush that the charata here is an external factor. I have no charata. I did this. I want to do this. Now I have an outside. What? Okay, so that's a fine point. Is that called charata? That's what he's coming to be mafalpel. That's what he's coming to bring out. Is that really called charata? Let's see what he says. V'kevan shebe'emes, in truth, einoy mischoret be'ikar hadavar. I have no regret of to do this mitzvah. Shaharei hu roitze lahachazik b'minhago. As far as I'm concerned, I want to continue. Maybe that's the determining factor. In Cain, yesh lehistapek. Okay, on the next, we go to the next page. We have a suffix. In moyel lahatir haneder. We have a suffix. If this neder is an incredible chiddush that Argus Abayisim says. Again, not everything we say over here is lahalach. By the way, no, don't get it carried away. We learn a lot of these shas and shuvas. There's always a yesh cholkim. There's always another shita. Brings out the halacha. So in moyel lahatir haneder. So therefore, he has a dilemma. If this really helps to be matter, if you can be matter the neder, the im efshal liftoyach lebe. Sacharata, if it's possible, Umoli Hayisi Yodea Shavicha Yigzor Lecha Bigzeris Kibud, and he's the imefshur. However, the imefshur liftoyach lo bePesach Harata il moli hayisu. If you would have known,
it's questionable.
If you could make this tapesach shavich yigzor lecha bGzeres kibud hayisi masne sheyiyeh bli neder, I would have stipulated that it should be bli neder. Would you have stipulated? So the difference is questionable. Is this is called valid? It's an external influence that is trying to have you undo your commitment to the mitzvah. The yafal pishem of uabes sugyon, even though now it's sugyon. That's the daf gemara. Shein shein paischin la'adam bichvoid aviv. Okay, so the gemara here talks about such a concept that you do not be paischach with the of, that it's not an honor for your father. Mikol makayim. So normally that's not enough. Normally, it seems that that's not called a Pesach. You can't. Mikol makayim harei mevur betaz legabe hadin she'ein paischim bechavad hamakayim shahinu rak im acherim paischim lo. That's only when other people. Now, in other words, this that the rabbanon said that you may not be paischach bechavad is only when someone else suggests that to you. Chavar hamakom of an honor of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's only with someone else. Avol imhu beatzmoy mischareit machmas kein shaper havelei pesach. So he seems to say is that when this pesach, it's only when it's coming from an external source.
But if,
what do you mean? Avol imhu beatzmoy mischareit machmas kein.
A person of bezin can come out with a suggestion that is
someone else can have.
But if
that is.
Okay.
But he himself can say, if I would have known that, I would not have done it.
So you see such a svara, that there's a difference between when the bezdin is persech in this kavod, even though it's a different type of kavod, kavod hamokah, not kavod of the father, but bezdin may not be persech to suggest, but you on your own may make this suggestion. So here when he's coming to bezdin, he's the one that's making the suggestion that had I known my father would have had such tsar, I would not have been persech, I would not have made this neder. Shapir dami, so shapir havelit, perhaps in this case it would be valid. Ela, shamikol makom, yesh l'stapik, imahani bezeh hatara. There's another reason why. Sharei takonas ezra niskinu mishum siyog shelo yu talmidecha mitzum etzel nishoseyem and mevur b'prichoda shebechahigavna hatara loy moy elas. Befrat, sheyesh l'tzad l'fimashakosav hatur shedomer zetoli b'minog v'chol mokim holchim achri haminog oysa mokim kifi shenog shom im lahakbit al tfilas ezra. Tfilas ezra used to be something very, very chomor. It was bottle. It was bottled because gzeira she'ein roiv hatzibu yecholim lamod boy. But when it was first instituted, it's in the Gemara. It was first instituted. It was etched in stone. People had what? Person has to go to after he's had marital relations. He has to go to mikvah before he davens.
Before he davens,
a person was not allowed to daven until he goes to mikvah. Not allowed to put on tefillin and not allowed to say kriya shma. Actually, it's a mishnah. The Gemara talks about a person who's a bal keri. He's not allowed to say kriya shma. So he has to be mechave in the kriya shma in his mind. This was an original takana. Chazal came along and they mevatel the halacha because it's a gezerah she'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim lamabo. It's too difficult for the average person to adhere to this mitzvah. However, and this is the key, those that did accept it as a minhag to do, it's a very severe minhag. It's not a lightweight minhag. Because most of our minhagim have no source. They're just pure custom. Okay, minhag is very holy, but there's no source in halacha. This minhag is rooted in a real halacha. The halacha was abolished because it's too difficult. But if someone does this because of a minhag, it's their custom, a custom of a community, and there are chassidim, like we said, they're into these type of things. So when you observe this type of minhag, this minhag is in a different league. The league of this minhag is much, much more severe because it's rooted in real halacha.
Times that
are based on mikvah,
let's say, if a
kohen
was
avoda, you have to
but he couldn't eat chumo.
Couldn't eat chumo. Can I ask to go out of chutzpah
machane? It's like a derisive thing.
Well, for truma, yes, and also the Beis Hamikdash, the Baal Keri is not allowed to be in the Harabais. he has to leave the Harabais, the Eibal Keri. So Nechlamim. But Umi Achar, yeah?
Say about what he's been for 5 years.
Yeah.
And now he's with this story, he wants to be Matanet. Does this change the status of any schar he got for the last 5 years?
Absolutely not. A thousand percent no. What you did for 5 years, the person receives the full reward. Now is a different story. Now things change. There's nothing to talk about. 100%. Since the person asking this question, nispashet haminog, he comes from a community. All the people there, they accustom themselves to this stringency. Should do this. I remember they would say the Rav Palm would tell his Talmidim in Kolel that they should be makbid on Tfilas Ezra. Someone once told this to me. He says, if you're learning in Kolel, you should learn B'Tahara. He says, you're coming here, you're not working, someone's supporting you. You're being supported? What? I'm not talking. He told them, it's very easy. I was very taken by this. Because by me, I grew up where I wouldn't. It was. I'm telling you my chatam. Erev Yom Kippur by me was the biggest nightmare. To go to mikvah? Even a private mikvah. Okay, a private mikvah. If you go in, $10, you wait in line, you go in privately. It was like a nightmare by me, such a thing to go to mikvah. So my whole life, I was brought up, stay away. Stay away from the mikvahs. This is not what I was brought up with. Okay, but as I got older, I got a new appreciation of what it's about. But I was told that someone told me that the people in Kolel, Rav Palm said, you're in Kolel, you're learning it, you're learning Torah the entire day, someone's supporting you, you're not working. There's no excuse, you should learn Torah b'tahara. And then someone else told me that, let's say you're a Baal Koyre. You lain once. You should feel an achrayis. If you lain for an oilam, for a choshev oilam, you should feel an achrayis. The balkari who's married should feel an achrayis to go to mikvah. If you're you do something tzorchei tziba for the community in the capacity that's choshev, you should feel an achrayis. You should feel an achrayis. What? Amor for sure. That's already halacha. A moil already a sandik, a moil and a sandik, it's already a different dark. Now, I don't know if it's mamsh halacha. Is that mamsh halacha? I don't know. A soifer is a must. Yeah. Is a must. It's puzzle. A soifer has to go to mikvah before he writes Hashem's name. Before you write, not when you write the rest, some soiferim, they skip every time it comes to Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah, they skip it. And then they go to mikvah, and they do all the shemas in one shot. And watch it. Today I don't think they do that anymore. Today, because the standard today is so the competition, the market is it's so intense. There's a lot of merchandise out on the market, a lot of Sefer Torah. So in order to keep up, you have to they go to mikvah for everything. What? It's trust. Every time you buy tefillin from a Sefer, you always use this trust. There's always a reputation. You see, Yari Shemayim. That's always a given. I always remember this scary story. This person I know, he was a soifer for many years, on a very, very good soifer. And then after about 10 years of being a soifer, he couldn't make a parnasa, so he went into computers. So he told me that, I met him, he says to me that his son is next year is going to be bar mitzvah. And he has to buy him tefillin. It's a very choshev talmud chacham. And I said to him, so you're going to write the tefillin for your son. So he says, I would really like to, but I haven't really been in it for the last 3 years. I'm out of it. I used to do this the whole day, but I'm out of it. I don't feel comfortable just sitting down after 3 years and writing a pair of tefillin. So I'm not going to do it. So I said, well, all the players. You know all the big names. You're in the business. So he says, that's the problem. That's the problem. He says, I know all the big names, and I don't want to buy from them. Because I know what goes on. So I said, who are you going to buy from? So he says, I know this younger man. He's a guy in his mid-20s. And he has a ksav. It's okay. It's not the best. It's pretty good. I'm going to buy from him because
he hasn't been supported.
Because he's still a Yorei Shemayim. Exactly. He didn't get yet to that point where he turns sour. He didn't turn sour yet. It's like, for sure the day is going to come when he's going to go down. There's no question about it. But at least he's still, you know, he's still idealistic. He's still a Yorei Shemayim. So that's what I'm going to buy for my son. So I was, wow, like what a scary thing to say. And this is from an insider. Okay, but here he says over here, this makbili mishrayt liyas nim ben yosham yachash shma makbili yosham zobit says of vada kol mishrayt lasos as mit khamin ze haray ze mishbach the afsha shnikra did also loy lachs of loy lahatin as if he says a very incredible khumra, an incredible khumra he says over here that since over here this is a minhag, he's all coming to combine two different reasons why there's a problem. Number one, who says that the honor of your father is enough to be mater neder? That's not necessarily the proper Pesach to be mater and neder. The reason to be mater neder must come from you, that you yourself have a difficulty in fulfilling this mitzvah, not because someone else is putting pressure on you not to do the mitzvah. That is questionable, and the proof to that is when it comes to Kavod HaMakom. Kavod HaMakom, there we find that Bezdin cannot be pasach with the honor of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not honor of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can, but not Bezdin. So he's coming to say, maybe does that play a part in this dilemma? And the second issue, he says that really what the child is doing is a halacha. It's a minhag, and it's a minhag that is rooted in a Mishnah, which is halacha. True, it's been abolished, this halacha, but still the minhag is a very strong minhag. So who says he has a right to be matir neder? Al kein siyam sham tiril lechofes das aviv sheyachzer bo. The ideal thing is to sit down with your father and have a conversation with him and convince him that it's not such a bad thing for him to go to mikvah. V'tivar lo she'ein lo locho shema techle, they will become ill. Machmas ha'tfila b'mikvah karinu kol mikvah shari chazal. These are real shilas. We don't really live in the olden days. It wasn't like today. You know, today the learning is dafyomi. It's a different. The olden days, the whole learning was real questions. All the old svarim are shilas and shuvas. Letters were sent to Talmidei Chachamim, real specific questions, and they mufalpel in that specific question gave an answer. I know that the Beis Yitzchak was my great-great-grandfather, so he would love when the mail came. He would wait for the mail to come, because in the mail came all the shilas. All the shilas, and he would write these long, long responses, which were ultimately published in the Beis Yitzchak. I know my grandfather used to also love when the mail came. Different type of mail. What? Yitzhak Yehuda Shmelkis.
From Lvov?
Lvov, yeah. So he would wait, this is what they wrote in the biography, he would wait for the mail to come to hear all the shilas. So therefore he passed that in this particular shila where a father is telling the child that don't go to a cold mikveh, you're going to get sick. These are the issues. It's rooted in this Daf Gemara. And he's saying the ideal thing is to try to convince your father that it's not a sakana. Shrei Chazal, he goes further, Shrei Chazal, Liftichu Shekol HaMachmer B'Dover Hazeh. Chazal said that if a person goes to mikveh, okay, so that's the first. This one example of a type of shaila that comes from the daf. Let's go through the
situation change. Instead of a mikveh, he had to go to like a lake, which is more dangerous.
Absolutely. A sakana, everyone agrees. Chamira sakanta meisura. That's a principle in Chazal. Sakana is more chomer than Isser.
The boy was willing to do what the father said, it's too dangerous.
So you have to make an evaluation. We know horror stories where people went to lakes and Rahman al-Islam were killed. Even recently. There are stories of people in the Catskills. People that don't realize how dangerous it is, they want to go to a lake to go to mikvah, and the horrible things happened. So in Hanami, you're right. If it's not safe, then there's nothing to talk about. Absolutely.
Is there something?
What? If you do a mitzvah three times, it has the status of a neder. What? So before you begin a new hanhaga, you are supposed to say, I'm beginning this hanhaga b'li neder. You're supposed to say that. We're actually matin neder for this every year, every Rosh Hashanah. It's part of the things, that part of the nusach of the Hataras Nedarim, that if I've done a mitzvah, hanhaga toiva, three parmim, shleshman v'loi hisnesi, sheyehei b'li neder. We actually say this every Rosh Hashanah. So this is all part of the discussion. Okay, I think this is very nice. It brings out some lomdus, some halacha, and something related to the daf. Let's try another example. Ketzal dinotzel mehu anius. How to spirit yourself from poverty. The sugi mevusha oni choshev kenes. That's a very frightening concept. And oni is choshev kenes. Vine b'sefer derech Moshe shebesoif sefer hagan. That Sefer Hagan, I'm not sure which says that Sefer Hagan from.
Where are you? The next
Samach Talam Beis. Continue. I'm going to the next shayl, the next sugi. You're going to the next staff. Samach Talam Beis. Shebesoich Sefer. I'm not sure what Sefer Hagan. The Sefer Hagan, Rabbi Orlian. Rabbi Orlian. He was the one who. This is a collection of Yungalite, Kol Yungalite and Skever Hasidim, who sat down and took out a computer and Oitzah Chachma and typed in a piece of Gemara and a whole bunch of things came up and they put this together. Okay, so this is done by computer. This is done mostly generated by a computer with some Talmidei Chachamim putting it together. The sugin mavur sha'ani choshev kemesis is anonymous. They don't give, maybe in the beginning of the safe they'll have 50 names who actually worked on the project on the various parts of this safer. The sugin mavur sha'ani choshev kemesis. I don't know what this is. Simple safer gan. There's a very old safer agan from one of the rishonim. There was a manuscript by Orlian here in the neighborhood. He worked. That was his PhD thesis. He took the manuscript. He copied it. Letter by letter, and he wrote a critical review or analysis of the words of the Rishon, the Sefer Hagan, comparing it to other Rishonim. I'm not sure if that's the same Sefer Hagan. I don't know what this means over here. It says Sefer Derech Moshe Shebesoich. Is another Sefer Hagan. I'm not sure. So what does this over here? It seems like it's a different Sefer. I think it's a different Sefer. Kosavi writes Yismach Hakohol the Yogil Hayochin Asher Yitu. People should rejoice and they should bend their ear to listen to my words. Ba'asher, I don't know what that stands for. Sheresh ayin hey, I don't know what that stands for. Re'isi es bini. Bnei Amenu, we have seen my nation. Ba'avonoseinu harabim, shagolus miskaber v'hoylich, that the golus is getting longer and longer. V'ein keitz larichas to the length of the golus. Chas v'shalom, v'rayosi al mishkavi, v'rayoni my thoughts al mishkavi saliku, on my thoughts on my bed have arisen. Al ma she'osa Hashem kocholonu. I'm wondering why has Hashem done this to us and has allowed us to remain in Golus for such a long time. The reason must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rejecting our prayers. Every single day we mispal multiple times. Multiple brachas tulis we mispal. What's the pshat? Why does Hashem reject our prayers? One of the chatorim is afilu ein minyan biro. This is a very important idea to daven in a holy place. Ein adayim davening. Forget about davening with a minyan. It's just not right to daven in a place that lacks kedusha. To daven, even if you can daven the yichidus, there is a mila of coming to the Beis HaKnesses to daven. It's very, very true. People don't realize that. You personally is not going to miss the minyan. You wake up late, you miss the minyan. So even if you miss the minyan, you're not going to daven mitzibur. It's kedai still to come at the end of davening and daven in the Beis HaKnesses to be yichidus, then to daven at home. Because the Beis HaKnesses...
So Rishon is telling us he has a problem in those days.
Absolutely, it was much worse in those days. There's no question about it. In the time of the Rishonim, most people did not daven b'tzibur. There's no question that today we daven today b'minyan probably infinitely more than the kadmonim, the Rishonim did. It was a very rare to daven with a minyan. It seems in times of the earlier days, they went to minyan on Shabbos, Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv. It doesn't seem it was very common. They didn't have, and even among whatever the situation was, they didn't have the conveniences like we have today, where they can easily come together and daven three times a day with a minyan. It was very rare. Shabbos was the big day. Shabbos was the big day. Like someone told me, we're talking about a certain program, and the program over the years, like a Tisha B'Av program, over the years ago, this particular program would attract thousands of people. Literally, 2,000 people would come to this program at the end of the day. And now, it's really a struggle. It's not the same. It's just, you can't, people are just not interested. So the question is, why? So all different theories. Number one, the competition is enormous. There are 1,000 programs, 1,000 videos. Then the other svara is because the speakers, today we don't have speakers that draw the crowds. There are good speakers here and there, but it's very hard to get someone. And then he said, but I'll tell you the real reason. The guy, the person who made this observation, he claims, his people today are all, he said, sheared out. That's what was nasach. Years ago, it was a big deal to go to a shir. How many shirim were there? You go to Rabbi Reisman, it's a Shabbos, you go shir. Today, everywhere you go, whether on the computer, you're overwhelmed with going to shiurim the entire day, non-stop. It's not a novelty to go to a shir. Tisha B'Av, I want to relax. It's not a novelty to go to a shir. It used to be, you would go to a shir the summer, you would go maybe to one or two shiurim the whole summer. You go on Shivas and Matamas, and you go on Tisha B'Av, you go to a shir. Today, the whole 3 weeks, the whole every single day, you have a billion shir, wherever you blink, there's another shir, another shir, another shir there. So people are all sheared out. That was his nusach. So the same thing is tefillah. In ancient times, it was a big gedula. You come Shabbos once a week to shul, it was a big deal. The rabbi made a sermon, and there was decorum, and there was ceremony, there was pomp, there was a whole, it was a big to-do, because you only went to shul once a week. Today, we go to shul three times a day, Baruch Hashem, so the whole flavor for davening has become less in our eyes, because we're so used to it. There are milas and chesroinas.
Okay. It's straight the whole year, but it's Pesach or...
So they make it Kodesh for that. They make it, they miyached a makam. That's fine. As long as the miyached for this man, this is the Beis HaKnesses. This is the makam Kodesh. You have to, the makam all depends on designation. Even in your own home, people are very wealthy and have a lot of rooms in their home. Designate one room as
permanent. This is just for
same. Doesn't make a difference. Nothing is permanent. No one's in this world forever. Everything is.
When he was in the army from 1941 to 1945, in the base where he was, that they had a revolving wall that had an altar on one side and an Aron Kodesh on the other.
An altar on one side.
Yeah. So they just not when it became a synagogue.
Well, they do that in the hospitals.
And you just swing it around, and it became an altar with Yashka there.
Yeah, they do that in the hospitals.
Yeah.
They have in the chapel. They have a room, and it's for everyone. They have an Aron Kodesh, and they have other things there also.
Well, like the contemplation. It's a room for contemplation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't feasible.
Yeah.
Why is he being critical?
This is his time. He's saying that based upon the, we don't know the circumstances, it was feasible. It could have been improved. They could have improved the situation. Let's see. Uvidareinu bavanaseinu haram yesh kam v'kama balibatim afilu loimdim she'enim nizhar mazeh. He writes, in his generation, there are many talmidei chachamim. They're not nizer. They don't go to shul to daven. They don't go to shul. The imshalim are so lama in mispal beis hakneses heishiv shein lachem minyan. There's no minyan. Who ainu yodesh? And the people do not realize this poor halacha that just because they don't have a minyan, who ainu yodesh sheaf shein minyan beis hakneses soch lelach beis hakneses lispalal, you still have to go to beis hakneses. V'zel muchach begemara misach the brachas kol mi sheyesh loy beis hakneses beiroi v'lo nichnas lispalal nigra shochin ra. It's a very interesting halach. If you have a Beis HaKnesses in your city, you should always visit them all. Visit all the Batei Knesios. If you don't visit the Batei Knesios, it's called the Shochein Ra. Some people there, it's a very nice thing. To always to frequent once in a while every Beis HaKnesses in your vicinity. Shenemar, Lishmoya, El Harina, Viala Tzila. Lishmoya, someone told me in Queens there are 42 streets, in the whole Queens, the whole Jewish neighborhood, and there are 40 streets. And there are 42 shuls. There are more shuls than there are streets.
Yeah, Coney Island, you have like 7 or 8 shuls on a block of Chaim Nolan.
A 7-8 block, that's right, the L&M, that's right. I remember when I came in, there was nothing there. It was a midbar. There was nothing there. It was unbelievable. Now look what became there over there.
Agudas
Achim. They were the first. Chaim Berlin was originally Agudas Achim. Right. Kang Svar and Chaim Berlin was originally Chaim Berlin was originally a movie theater. You know that? It was originally a movie theater. And remember the old Chaim Berlin? And it was, you could see where the camera, where the clock was where the camera would project. And Aron Kodesh was the screen. And that's why it was on an angle. Remember the old Chaim Berlin? So it was on an angle, and it was a real nice movie theater. Kang Svart bought it. Coney Island, the old Chaim Berlin, before they knocked it down. The old Chaim Berlin. Kang Svart bought the movie theater. They renovated and they made it into a beautiful Beis HaKnesses, and then at the very end they could not move in. There was some problem. Why they could not? They couldn't afford. There was some problem, and it was bottled for Tekufa. And Chaim Berlin, who was in Crown Heights, which went bankrupt, decided to move to the Far Rockaway. They were going from place to place. The yeshiva was basically defunct, and they rented this building that Kang Svart built as a Beis HaKnesses and never moved into. And in the meantime, Kang Svart set up their own little shul in the middle of the block.
No, this was the deal with Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin bought it on condition.
Yeah.
Keep
Kang Svart can stay there. Yeah.
There's a condition.
All right, this is ancient history. Okay, let's go further. So this, what does it say over here? Is different. This is a halacha that a person has to go to Beis HaKnesses no matter what. Heishel Lachem Shem V'zeh Muchach V'gemar Misal. The bracha is Kol Mi Sheyesh Lo Beis HaKnesses Me'ir V'lo Nitzin 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 Sham Tehe Tefillah. With a place where there is song, that's where there should be Tefillah. Chol Adam Yode Ala MS, everyone admits. Shekol HaGzeros, look what he writes over here, shocking things. Shekol HaGzeros V'Atzaros Bohu Ba'avu Noseinu Harabim L'Yisrael M'bnei She'enam Mispalim B'Beis HaKnes. Wow, shocking thing to say. Okay, no one could they say about this to our generation, why bad things happen. But he says that part of the problem is we don't daven in a holy location. We should daven in a Beis HaKnes. Now, v'choisiv v'kosav, v'chol adam yamin shadalus. Now he writes something even more frightening. Shadalus, poverty, the korois, the yakos. What does yakos mean?
Expensive things.
No,
inflation.
Inflation
means rich.
Richness. Umisas bonav chas shalom. Boim lo adam ve'ein loy hatzlocha b'masa matan shalom. He's writing that in his generation people are not successful. V'ra'i l'kach min ha'Torah shehaloi yodua shatfilah hi b'mokim karbon. Tfilah is in place of sacrifice. The carbon exhibit says, "Ish ish asher yishchat michutz lamach." Wow, what a beautiful word! Shchut echutz. You're not allowed to sacrifice a carbon outside the Beis Hamidrash. So since tefillah is becoming tefillah, the tefillah has to be in the place, the holy place. The nichras or ishahu, the person is chayv karis. So a carbon ball lashedim. It's invalid. Kidich siv v'lo yizbuchu lasiirim. Ubizman hazesh haBeis HaKnesses he b'mokam Beis Hamikdash. Davening outside, bring a carbon outside the base Hamikdash is a chiv karis. The carbon cholach lashedim af achshav b'tefillah kain ulechein tzorich liyois b'beis haknesses. Tefillah must be in the Beis HaKnesses. Or b'mokem kavua shu doyme l'beis haknesses. V'im mispal b'yichidi b'beis oz mevi hatefillah. Azai, maybe hatfila dugma sa carbon the shadim canal. He daven at home. It's not proper. V'chayv gam karis bar minyan. Forget about the minyan. Every tefillah should be in a holy place, it says. You do the marviz b'mkayim tzkarbon. It's the to me that it's the ivarim, it's the limbs, it's the imurim that are continuing to be burnt in the mizbeach. So he says that even if a person, Hashem lets a person live, but there's a consequence of poverty. What? What does the mikveh have to do with being poor? What is this? This is not the mikveh. This is not the mikveh. This is not the mikveh. Okay, let's try one more. Let's see one more. Tefillah v'ayda al she'eni neis. Let's try one more halacha and then we're going to stop. Then we'll do. Then we're going to. I'll tell you a short word on the shivah nechemta and then Rabbi Mayevsky is going to say some Torah.
It's almost like you're saying you better
rest that
document.
No, I don't say that. No, don't say that. That you can't say. You have to take everything. I have to take everything with a grain of salt. You have to take everything. You have to see what goes on in the world. We take out of this one very simple thing. There's a halacha. You're supposed to daven in a holy place. If you're not going to be able to daven with a minyan, it doesn't matter. Still, come to the Beis HaKnesses and daven there. If you have an ability in your home to designate a room, a location as a Beis HaKnesses, that's a very nice thing. Many people do that. They do. They have, if they can afford, they have a special room or special library. That's what the shtetl. Whenever they need to daven. Daven b'yachidus, that's where they go. They don't daven in the bedroom. They don't daven in the dining room. They go to their study. They go to the place where the svarma or the shtender is their study. That becomes a holy place. It's a very nice thing. I was once a guest in someone's house, in a very, very small house, and he shows me this little mokoim, this is his tummy, this is his Beis HaKnesses. He made a ner tummy. It was a smarty. He made a ner tummy. It was very bizarre, like a little Aron Kodesh, and he was very serious. He was very sincere. He wasn't a big talmud. And he was, this is my Beis HaKnesses. I dive in here, I do all my holy things in this makom. It's very impressive. And that's how it's supposed to be for us. Okay, let's go to the next halach. Let's see. Tfilah v'hoida al she'enoi meis. B'sugim v'vosha arba chashuv k'meis. Okay, this staff samachdal that teaches the halach. There are four people in a chashuv k'meis. Anyone know that by heart? Ani, a mitzoyra, mi yishen leibanim,
and a blind person.
And someone who's blind. Blind. The phone is blind. Four different people. What's it, why does the Gemara tell us this? A person should always be misspelled for these four things: to be not to be poor, not to be blind, A person is mechuyev to be mispalel for every problem. So why does Tosfos focus specifically on these four? The cost of the taret sheyitochin shakavana l'meboy rachmei shlo yovei adam lidei kach, that a person should know the preventive medicine. When we have a concept that you're supposed to pray for everything, that's already after it already happens. After you find yourself in a difficult situation, then you misspell. But these four things a person should pray in advance, that he should not be reduced to such a situation. The Yavetz is Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yavetz is the Yar of Yaakov Emden. Kosav Mechayim Esim Yesh V'brocha Zo Chomesh. Oh, this is a very, very beautiful word. Chomesh Pam Tchias HaMesim. In the bracha of Mechaye HaMesim, there are five different forms of Tchias HaMesim. Milvad, besides umikayim emunasol lishnei afavniru lishahem kineged, arba, we say the word mechayim esim five times. Right, let's go through it. We say mechal kol chayim bechesed mechayim esim, brachamim rabim samech laflim rafeich lematiras mechayim musol shev amicham rabbi was ata gibol la mashem mechayim esim. Let's see. What do we have? Thank you very much. Ata gibol yilam shem mechayim esim is one. Ata rav liyoshia mechal kol chayim bechesed mechayim esim is two. Brachamim Rabim, maybe let's see. Somech Noflim, Rafi Chol Matir Asim Mekayim Emunosol Lishnei Afar. I think what he means is that's besides that. He says besides that Mekayim Emunosol. So I think what he means is Somech Noflim, Rafi Chol Matir Asurim. Those are three different types of Mechayim Esim. That's three. Plus the beginning, it says Beferish Mechayim Esim and Ata Gibor. Those are the five times. You start off Ata Gibor, Liel Hashem Mechayim Esim, that's one. Then when you say Mechalak Mechayim Ches Mechayim Esim is two. And Luchar, what he means is Samech Neuflin V'Refei Cholim V'Matir Asurim. Or maybe what he means is at the end it says Melech Nemes Mechaye. Maybe that at the end it says Melech Nemes Mechaye. Then at Alachayos Meisim Bracha Mechaye HaMeis. Okay, that's what it means. Okay, one more time. You start off the bracha Atag Yibar Lilam Hashem Mechaye Meisim. That's one. The second time you say Mechal Kol Chayim Chesed Mechaye Meisim Berachamim Rabim. Okay, skip to the end. That's three. Go further. That's four. Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay, we ever think about that? Sish Ronesh so many times a day. In the bracha of Mechal Kol Chayim, you say the words Mechaye Meisim five times. Yes, it says really six. It says Umekayim Emunasoli Shenei Afar. Okay, that's not, it's explicit, that's indirect. So he says here, it says in the Chafim Sugin, so he says over here, Nira Lishem, Keneged Arbo Chushim Kemesim. So he says there are four Chushim, of course, that's four senses. And the four senses. Chashuvim Kemesim, I'm sorry, Chashuvim. So therefore, from the five, four are Chashuvim Kemes. Oni, Metzoira, Suma, Vur Mesugya. Oni, Umetzoira, Vesuma, Mish, Ein Leibanim. The Neged Hashena. And what's the fifth? Sleep. Sleep is also death. She echad mishishim b'misa shalei onu mevarchim kol yom b'boiker hamachazir neshamos lifgarim mesim gevaldik ulechein hu loshon hoyve. That's why it's in the loshon hoyve. It's in the present because HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously he brings them back to life. It's loshon hoyve ki chein hu adavar mas midle oylam ubaruch mechaye hamesim kod bracha mechaye mesim kol mine mesim kiniskar leel v'hainu sheyoydeh laHashem yisbech kol prat mehachamisha mesim halalu. Fascinating. So therefore we have a Gemara tells the four Chashuv Kemes, and we have also sleep is number five, and that's why we say in the bracha Mechal Kol Chayim we mention Mechayim Esim five times. Kigoyin al zeh she'ena mitzora v'al zeh shechsuloy nishmosa li'achar hashena, like this, that a person is not a mitzora and his neshama has come back. V'af mishu yesh le'achar me'amin yonu ala ila. Let's say Rachman, listen, a person doesn't have doesn't have all these things. Kigoyin shu oni yichavein shemamin be'muna shleima shehashem yisprach b'koychoy losis le'kol hadvarim o'ile hameviyim chiyus le'odam hamekablam. Hashem can give you all of these things. Do not worry. Ki mamish k'shem shehashem yisparach chichsiloi nishmosoy hayom li'acha hashena kach yochol Hashem yisparach losis le'i parnosa. Hashem can you parnosa v'chol tzrach all of your needs v'ein eitzel Hashem shum chiluk b'neim klal. There's no difference. Hashem is hakol yochol. Next, the chumras matzava shel ha'adam shu iver, with regard to the situation of a person who's blind, chas v'shalom, kosmin shechachma b'gemara, Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, suma potter miloimar hagada. A suma does not have to recite the hagada on the night of Pesach. My time aksif hacha ba'avur zeh, also, Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. Uchsiv hasam bonenu zeh. Ma lahalon prat l'sumin. It says there by a ben soirer umoireh. What happens here? Take this. Ben soirer umoireh. That's just the yes. That's all you need. By ben soirer umoireh. What does it say by ben soirer umoireh? Bonenu zeh. Bineinu zeh. This child. So if a parent is blind, there is no halacha of ben soireh umoireh. And it says the word zeh by hagadah. Bavur zeh asah Hashem li b'tzeisim b'mitzrayim. Ma lahalan prat l'sumin. Afkan prat l'suma. Period. V'adover. What?
Zeh is always a visual.
A visual. It's a gzera shava. We learn from bineinu zeh. So we have a gzera shava. So a suma spot from reciting hagadah. Who's the one that says this? It says this in the Gemara. V'hadover nifla. The tzarech beir. This is a wonder to say such a thing, that a person, just because he's blind, is exempt from reciting the Haggadah. V'nira perusha shasuma asher ru'us enoi ein loy v'olam choshech ba'adoi v'hu osur b'yivaroin enov, and he is imprisoned through blindness. Ma'ich b'slei im yosha b'beis ho'asurim v'eze shibud yesh olav. So he does not experience cheros. Shocking thing, very powerful concept, that a person who's blind does not really experience what it means to be a free man. You left Mitzrayim, you left the land of bondage to be a free man. And a person who's blind, that's the greatest, there's no greater prisoner than a person being blind. He lacks mobility. The imkain hu loy nitzul mishibud paroviyamo shori b'ma eved mitchila es paro uvema yotzachavshi rak yihud sarich lohaydois al yes, give thanks al. What's that word? Tziroi binafshoi shebonav hemochavshim. He has to give thanks that his children are free. V'imloy hoitzio Hashem b'mitzrayim harei bonav hayu b'shebadu l'parim b'mitzrayim. V'lechei mevi sheben sumim einoi nase ben sarim moire. B'tam shemi shehu suma v'nechshav kemeis ve'ena sameach b'ma'adanus habari habruchav olam, does not take pleasure in health that everyone else enjoys. Umisi Boisav, Hemol, the Torah, and all of his existence is just a burden. Masal Nafshoi, Einoi Mikusher Benafshoi Lebonav. He has no connection to his children. So he's saying that the reason the law is why a person who's blind is exempt from bringing his son as a ben Sarim Mori is because he's not really connected to his children. Asher Im Lo Yishmu Bekoylo Yechver Lo Af Liboy Choreit Shema Yotza Ben Letarbos Ra. Okay, something along these lines. Gam kibonav kinochim nechshavu loy, lo yikach chelek b'simchosam, v'lo yidag b'yigoinam. He does not have simcha in their success, does not have agony in their tzaras. L'chein ein oynasa ben soirer umoire, sh'asuma sh'choshav k'meis kivar, meis hispa'alusoy asher b'noy zoylel v'soyvei. So basically saying that a person who's blind has no connection to his children. His children are not his. And if there's no connection to his children, there's no possible way that he can be chayv in this mitzvah. Well, in Potter Suma, same thing of Suma Spadim Islam HaGadah, Kevon Sha'al Atzmai Einet Zoch L'Hoydes V'Gam Al-Bonav L'Yachos Sha'al Tevasim Ayrasam. So Suma is also exempt from HaGadah because he has no Simcha Sachayim. For him, it's as if he's still in Mitzrayim. And as far as his children are concerned, he doesn't really relate to them because he does not see them, does not have a connection to them in this world. So it's not really something that he has Simcha over. L'Chin Potter M'L'Hoydes U'L'Shabeach V'Zeh. I don't think it makes a difference. I think at this point in time, it seems to say that this point in time, that's what it seems to say. This is very logical. The duk, analyze this, and you will discover that it makes sense. Well, today you have to take it with a grain of salt, because today Baruch Hashem, you have to take everything we learn with a grain of salt. Today Baruch Hashem, we have the Institute for the Blind, right? I'm saying there's this Braille, and there's incredible things that are done for the people who are blind, which brings them to the level of participating in society 100%. So it may be Rachanami that this halacha is not true today, but you have to go back only 100 years ago. What do they have? Nothing. A person that was blind was a nebuch, locked up, couldn't do anything. There was no opportunity, no education. There was nothing you can possibly do. So in such a situation, he's saying over here something very deep, that the reason why the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, compares a person who's a ben soir, the mitzvah of Haggadah, to the mitzvah of ben soirer umoirer, is to teach you the toli zeh b'zeh. The mitzvah of Haggadah is v'higadta levincha b'yoyim ahulema b'avur zeh. It's not just the word zeh, it's v'higadta levincha. And by ben soirer umoirer, the only reason why the father is guilty has to bring his child is because it's his child. It's his responsibility to raise him as a shomer Torah mitzvos. The fact that this child has gone off the deep end, and has become in Sarah Mara, that reflects something bad upon the father to some degree. What the Torah requires the father to bring his child. Someone who is blind is exempt, because if one who is blind has absolutely no connection to his child, at least in ancient times, at least not in ancient times. Rabbi Yosef, was blind. Was also. So they were the exception. There's no question about it. But Yaakov, Yitzchak was blind. So obviously, Chazal said that he was kilu meis. That's why the shechina was already shown. Yaakov, when he made the neder, he says, Elokei avi Yitzchak. Elokei, well, Chazal say, Elokei avi Yitzchak. Rashi gets the kasha. How can Yaakov Avinu, how can Hakadosh Baruch Hu be Yaakov? When Hashem appeared to Yaakov, Hashem said, I am the God of your father Yitzchak. How can Hashem say, I'm the God of your father Yitzchak? Yitzchak was still alive. And we have a rule that Hashem is not miyached his name on tzaddikim in their lifetime, because there's no guarantee a person will remain religious to the very, very end. So how then can Hakadosh Baruch Hu say, Elokei Yitzchak when Yitzchak was still alive? And Rashi answers that he was blind. And Suma Choshev Kimeis. So you see, even Yitzchak Avinu, the holy Yitzchak Avinu, even he, Chazal say, was Choshev Kimeis. Allah has kam v'kama, someone on that spiritual level.
Right, but that he didn't relate to his children anymore?
What?
Look at
Esau was only able to fool him because he was blind. That's why the brachas, Chazal said, that's why he was, the brach, Yaakov was able also to fool him and receive the brachas.
Well, that's why you say that the pshat and the pasuk is lo yuchal, it doesn't say lo yuchal, vayikis or king Yitzchak. He refused to see. In other words, that the lashon is not that he was blind, but that he sort of, like it says, he refused to see. He didn't see Esau for what he was. Even when he could see,
he still refused to see.
He just didn't want to see.
Like the miracle. They don't. You don't. It's not like nucha lalas. He don't want. He didn't want to see because he had negias towards Yitzchak.
A person who's deaf is considered even lower than a person.
Because deaf can't even speak.
Right.
Someone hearing is even worse than Chazal say. Hearing is even worse because you can't. It doesn't say that a chereish is choshev kemes.
One time it says lo yuchal leros, and one time.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I don't know. There's a video. Someone sent around the video. I think Dr. Levine, Yitzchak Levine, sent an incredible. You have to see this video. Today they have technology that is not a volume where people that are almost deaf, they're able to restore their hearing. They put implants. Yeah, unbelievable. So they have. He has a video of showing people for the very first time in their life when they turned on their hearing. Ranging in age from infants all the way to adults. For the very first time, they put in the implant and they're now going to hear for the first time. And they video them. And it's awesome to see their reaction. And they, most of them break down and they sob. They break down in tears. It's very a psychological reaction. How to react the first time you hear. And you hear people talking to you and they jump. It's like someone and they all break down sobbing. You got to see this video. So I'm sure you can find it online.
I worked with those kids for 30 years. I saw those videos. I didn't work with the babies, but I saw older kids, 5 years old and older. They went to regular schools and their hearing loss was down to conversational level. It could have been 100 decibel loss without the cochlear implant. When they turn it on, they can hear like 30 decibels, like normal conversation. They go to regular schools, they do beautifully most of the time. So that would, I went to conferences about deaf kids at Halacha. So a lot of the things we learned about was, of course, way back when, but nowadays, the rabbis I heard, it doesn't really apply. They can do everything we do.
Everything we do, exactly. Like you're saying, we Baruch Hashem, we live in the Medina Shel Chesed, and the things that are available for these people are almost equivalent. Again, everything we're just taking over here just to learn some lumness of somebody. But the idea he's saying, a very beautiful thing, he's connecting, he's making a connection between, who would ever make such a connection, between the mitzvah of Ben Soyer Moirer and the mitzvah of the Igarata Levincha. You don't really hear that on Pesach night. When you go to a drasha on a rabbi in Pesach, they talk about the Igarata Levincha, the connection between this generation and the next generation, to make that connection in the laws of a Ben Soyer Umoyer. Moira. What does that mean? Why did the child go off? Who's to blame? You can't blame the father. He's only a 13-year-old kid. Today you would never blame the father for that. But what is the message? He says these two are related, and just like there is no halacha of Yigat Lemincha, there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah over here either. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Do you like this type of limud? Should we do this more again tomorrow? For the halacha? I think it's interesting. Every day, a little daf yomi. You can now say you learned daf yomi. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we'll continue.